Luke chapter 10, verse 25. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. He asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Luke chapter 10, verse 38. This is the story of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Good morning. Today, I want to give you the opportunity to refocus onto the things that are really important in life, a chance to reorder our priorities. I don't know about you, but especially because of the circumstances we're in, I felt like I have lost my focus. I felt like my priorities aren't in the order that I would like them to be. And not only that, it's harder and harder to focus. And we're getting more and more distracted by the things of the world, whether they be good or bad, they distract us. And it's really difficult to keep our hopes firm in what is good. And so today, to help us, encourage us to stay focused for the rest of the week, I've given us a phrase to help us remember. As Nikki's already said, keeping your eyes on the prize. If you take nothing else away from today, if you want to take this opportunity for a 20-minute nap, turn your camera off, have a sleep, but remember, someone later might ask you, "What did Jack talk about?" This is all you need to remember. I think Jack spoke about keeping our eyes on the prize. So there you go. If anyone turns their camera off now, I think I know why. Keeping your eyes on the prize means keeping your focus and having the right priorities. It means both of those things. But for me, it reminds me of sports. I have a real guilty pleasure, which is watching montages of especially footballers literally missing to kick balls. It's hilarious watching professional sports people mess up just like I do when I try to play. And it's a real guilty pleasure, but it applies to sports really well. It doesn't matter if you're kicking a ball, hitting a ball, batting a ball, throwing a ball, catching a ball, keeping your eyes on the prize is a really good mantra that you can use to improve your success. Now, you can think of it like this. Keeping your eyes on the prize in sports will give you good outcomes. But when you take your eyes off the prize, the outcomes won't be so good. I have a friend called Stuart and we play junior cricket together. Now, I was a bowler and I remember this one occasion really well because I bowled and the ball was hit way up into the sky and Stuart was standing underneath it. Now, you're taught in cricket to hold your hands and to look through the centre of your hands as the ball, as it comes into your hands and catch it. You keep your eye on the prize all the way. Unfortunately, on this day, and remember, this is a small, solid red ball, and it has gone quite high and is now moving quite fast. At the last moment, Stuart flinched away and closed his eyes. Thankfully, nothing was broken, but there was a very, very nasty bit lip. When we take our eyes off the prize, the results can be quite harmful. And the world, the culture of the world is trying to take our eyes off the prize. And I think it does this in two main ways. First of all, through distraction and also through replacement. Now let's break this down and look at those one at a time. First of all, keeping your eyes on is the focusing part of this phrase. And it's the part where the world tries to attack us by distracting us. Consider instant culture. Whatever you want it now, you deserve to get it now. Doesn't matter if this is a latest phone, whether this is job success, hobbies, if you want to be a footballer, if you want to be a streamer, you want success now. You want a good relationship now. You don't want to have to work hard at it, you want it. Who here has a Amazon Prime account or at least access to one? Yeah, my mother-in-law has one. I've got to be honest there. Even the idea that when we bought something immediately, we want to receive it immediately. And this is distraction in two ways. First of all, if we fail to get what we want, if we fail to get that instant gratification, well, culture tells us that for somehow that's our fault, that we're maybe weren't worth it, that we don't deserve it in some way. And it can send us into a negative downward spiral and distract us from the prize because, well, good things aren't worth focusing on anymore. The other thing that it does is keep us attached to this bit of elastic. It's like we're on a game show that none of us really want to be on. And we're attached on this big inflatable, we're running towards the prize, stretching for it. And even if we do happen to reach our prize and grab and take hold of it, the elastic pulls us back again and points us in a new direction. I don't know if any of you bought a new phone recently, but I can guarantee in 6 months' time, a new phone will come out that's an upgrade on the model you have that I won't be able to tell you what the difference is other than the number is now one bigger and the price has gone up by a couple of hundreds of pounds. But consider also, if you're a person that's waiting until marriage, until you have sex, if that's the prize that you're aiming for, well, society doesn't help you here either. Distraction is everywhere. Put yourself in the shoes of a young person, a young adult, an adult who's trying to hold on to that as something really important to them. And now, next time you take a walk down your high street, look at the advertising around you. It's a well-known and very true phrase that sex sells. Whether it's cars or jelly. Honestly, there's a billboard on the side of a bus stop, 30 seconds walk from my house, that I think has an inappropriate advert because it's a very sexy woman selling jelly. It's a tub of jelly. Now imagine yourself in those shoes trying to hold on to this in a culture that tells you not only is sex good, which it is, it's a gift from God, but that it's necessary for you to have value in life, that if you're not having it, somehow that's your fault, that you are worthless because you're not having sex. Distraction from your prize. Okay, let's move on to the second part of this now and look at the prize. And this is where replacement comes in. That was distraction, and this is replacement. Not only is culture making it harder for us to focus and to keep our focus, it's also changing what we focus on. The prize should be what we choose it to be, something that will benefit us. But even that is being changed. Again, with the new phones coming out, the new models, and even the good things that we should be focusing on can become a distraction and replace everything on our list of priorities. Things that are taken to the extreme, even good things, like, for example, focusing and having a priority on your work, even that taken to an extreme, no longer benefits us and serves only to replace the true priorities, the true prizes in our lives. And this applies to all things, all good things, family, work, as I said, but even things like fighting against climate change. When we get all in for that at the cost of everything else, even something as good a cause as that can skew our priorities if we don't do it right. I wonder if anyone here has heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's a pyramid like this. I'm seeing a few hands up, but a few not, so this is exciting. So at the top of this pyramid, you have self-fulfillment. I can't tell you what this looks like. It's personal to you. Self-fulfillment is you being the best you you could possibly be. You've reached the top, and my assumption is that if anyone actually ever gets to this point, they'll discover that they're in fact only halfway up their pyramid, and there'll be new things to aim for, but this is a hypothetical point of the pyramid of our lives. Now, at the bottom, you have the chunk that's the most important for our lives, because this is the base, the foundation. And Maslow says there are three things upon which all else stands. Three basic human needs that we need to meet first before we can meet anything else. And those are Wi-Fi, phone signal, and a charging cable. Good, seeing a few laughs there. They are food, water, and shelter. Those are the three key needs of our life. And only once we've met them can we go to the middle layer, which has things like job, family, social life, relationships, hobbies, security. All at different layers and different importance, leading up, of course, to the top. But how does this demonstrate anything about keeping our eyes on the prize? And remember, that is the phrase to remember. So say for you, the top of your pyramid here is that your work is everything to you. It's your passion, it's your love. Everything you do is all about your work. You love that it makes a difference to the world. You love the projects you work on. You love your colleagues. It fulfills you in so many ways. So much so, you get a call asking, say, we've had someone drop out. Can you come and do an emergency shift for us tomorrow? And you love your work. You love your, yes, I can do that. Not a problem. You get a call another evening, this time saying, hey, look, I'm struggling on my project here, but yours have been going so well. Is there any chance you can give me some advice? Like, I just need like an hour or so. Can we just chat? Because I want to pick your brain on this. I'm struggling and you're quite flattered by this, but you also want to help out your colleagues. So of course you say yes. And you'd spend a few hours going through their project with them. And how about another time in the week? You spend all day at work. You're working on your own project this time and you love it. It's passion filled. You're driven for it so much so when you get home, it's all you focus on. You keep working on it into the afternoon, into the evening, into the early morning, and it's 2 a.m. before you realize I've got to go to work early tomorrow. So I better get into bed, and you slip into bed at 2 a.m. half past without trying to wake your wife up. Well, overall, it doesn't seem too bad. This is your passion. This is your drive. But the problem is you might have missed some really important things further down your pyramid that hold everything else up when you're so focused on the top. When you took that call and said that you would do an emergency shift the next day, you forgot that you were the one supposed to take your daughter to the football game the next morning. When you took that call to help your colleague with their project, you actually took it during the middle of your son's drama performance and walked out to take the call. And when you worked all day and all night, you forgot it was day night with a wife that you hadn't seen all week because you've been working. When we focus on the wrong thing, it can break another brick in our pyramid somewhere else. In this case, when we're so focused on working that we forget about everything else, when the prize of our job has replaced all other priorities, when we've focused on that so much, we can lose our family, relationships can break down, and our life, our pyramid can shatter and crumble when we get distracted and start focusing on the wrong prize. When we stop looking at things that really matter, our world collapses. You can focus so much on your job, for example, that you can lose your family. At the moment, you can focus so much on not working, being furloughed, that actually it can be hard to get back into your job. We might think that as we move up the pyramid, that our focus should always be at the top and the thing that's coming next, but that's not the case. Because when we look too high, we miss out the important things that we should be keeping our focus on that are elsewhere. Now let's head now into our story. Now Jesus is traveling along and he's going to the house of his really great friends, Martha, Mary, Lazarus lives with them too. And famously, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, after crying over his tomb. These guys are super important. They're not just friends, these are close friends. And Martha and Mary, when they hear that Jesus is coming to stay, like all of us, when we hear a close friend has come to visit, we tidy the house and we get everything prepared. It's like a whirlwind. I know when we have people coming here, I get given a big list of tasks from Rebecca. It's like, right, you need to do this half, I'm doing this half. See you back here in 5 minutes and I'll tell you everything you've done wrong. Now, she's not right here beside me to give out to me for that, so I'm safe for this joke for now. But when we have good friends over, hospitality is important. And for Mary and Martha, it is hugely important. Did you know, in fact, the most popular answer to the question, which historical figure would you have over for dinner, is in fact Jesus. So I'm sure we can all resonate with the fact that if Jesus was coming over, we would get our house prepared. This is a big deal for Mary and Martha. They would have prepared their home for hours, making sure there was enough space, food, water, comfy chairs to sit on, or at least cushions on the floor. And actually, we can infer from this and what happens next that for Mary and Martha in particular, this prize of being a good host, this focus, was very, very high on their list. That's Martha's main focus here, making sure that Jesus is as honored a guest as possible as he can be. And on the surface, that's not a bad prize to aim for until we start moving inside the home once Jesus arrives. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. As we come inside the house, we can see that everything is not okay. Martha is being the great host. Are you too hot? Are you too hot? Cold? Can I give you a blanket? Can I refill your plate? Can I refill your cup? Can you hear Jesus? Let's move another cushion there so you can sit closer. And she blows up in exasperation, asking Jesus for help because Mary is not helping her. Anyone who's ever worked a group project, especially at university, is what comes to mind for me, but at work or even just getting the Christmas dinner ready for your family. Anyone who's worked a group project knows the exasperation of someone not pulling their weight. And so Martha blows up and she says, Lord, do you not care? Which is a great way to start. That's pretty bold to ask someone as famously caring as Jesus, do you not care? I'm doing all the work here. My sister's just sitting there listening to you. She's not helping with our priorities here. We're supposed to be good hosts, but she doesn't seem to care about this. Get her to help me. I wonder how many of us might have been in that same situation. So focused on something that we've missed, something important in front of us. And Jesus' reply is so full of wisdom for us and reminds us to keep our eyes on the prize because it's so important. He says, the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. I've highlighted those words because they are so important. Martha, you are distracted by many things. You are focused so much now on being the host, but that's not the right prize. We have to take into consideration here that being a good host was and still is part of the social expectations for many women. the expectations that culture puts on them. So Martha has taken this on. It's like, I have to be a good host. And Jesus says, you're being distracted. The world, culture, is distracting you from what's important here. While you're focusing on something that you think is higher up the pyramid, you're missing the real prize right in front of you. You're not keeping your eyes on the prize. And on top of it all, because your focus is in the wrong place, it's making you worried. Being worried is a symptom of having the wrong prize, or that you're focusing on the wrong thing, or that you're being distracted. And maybe, as you take a second to reflect now, that's something that you're feeling. This is an opportunity for us to remember to refocus and reorder our priorities. Perhaps God is bringing something to you now, something in your life that's saying you need to address this. And maybe being worried is one of the symptoms that this is the thing you need to change. Martha, you're focusing on the wrong thing here. And then Jesus uses the example of Mary as someone who isn't. The Lord answers her. You're worried and distracted by many things, but there is need of only one thing. And Mary has chosen the better part. There is need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen it. Jesus starts by pointing out that, in fact, there is only one thing we need. Don't be distracted. Stay focused on the one thing that really is your prize. And I don't know what that is for you, but this is a lesson for all of us. Whether we're focusing on the wrong thing right now, we need to focus on the good thing, the right thing. But even deeper than that, rather than just looking in the wrong place, Jesus tells us that keeping our eyes on the prize isn't something we can do passively, but we need to choose to do that every day. This is an active decision we need to make, to actively choose to focus on our prize, our prize, not the one put ahead of us, the prize that we've chosen. Otherwise, we're just passively being moved around by that piece of elastic like we're on a game show, distracted and tossed to and fro. What are you choosing right now to focus on? Is it making you feel worried? Is it in fact distracting you from other things that are good and better for you? But Jesus tells us that there is one more thing that we all need to know. Not only do we need to choose to focus, and that there is a better thing, Mary has chosen the part that will not be taken away from her. And here's the crux of the matter. Here's the central point. Ask yourself this question. Whether it's the fake prize you're going for or the right prize, will it last? When you get that job promotion, will it bring you happiness? We've learned so many things during our lockdown in this pandemic, and one of those is that even things like family, relationships, our homes, our security, the things that we traditionally put our hope into and our prize, our focus, our drive, they are not everlasting. All things of the world do fade. But Jesus says there is something we can build our pyramid on. There is something that will be our cornerstone for the foundation of the rest of our lives, upon which, if we build the rest of our pyramid, our life will never crumble completely. We still might lose bricks here and there, but we will never have a life-shattering crumble. When we put our hope and we choose to focus on the firm foundation, this whole new layer on the hierarchy of needs that Maslow knew nothing about, Jesus. Martha is distracted by being a great host, but she's missing the fact that Jesus is in her home, that Jesus wants to spend time with her. Are you missing the fact that Jesus wants to spend time with you? He is our closest friend. And I know I'm missing my friends right now. I'm missing my family. So why am I not spending more time with my closest friend, Jesus, and my heavenly Father? when we put our hope in the wrong prizes, when we get distracted from the true goals of our lives, the things that are really important, not the things that bring us worry and despair. Our lives aren't going to be secure. Our pyramid can crumble without us realizing it. We need to not lose focus from the bottom of our pyramid, and we need to make that choice every day. Because the world will try to pull us away like we're attached to elastic. Just to end here, I've got some discussion questions. I know this is a home group week, and these will be up on the website for home group leaders to look at, and hopefully will help get a bit of extra content to discuss. And these are, first of all, what does your pyramid, your life, look like? What's the peak and what's on your base? The peak is the thing that you're hoping for, you're dreaming for, you're driving towards, and your base is your solid foundation. The things that you rely upon to hold up everything else. Secondly, what do you get distracted by? So many things in the world right now is the answer to that. But what specifically do you get distracted by? What's taking your focus away from what you would like it to be on? And finally, what do you need to refocus on? And how will you do it? Because it's not just enough to say, I need to refocus back on Jesus or my family. But you need to come up with a plan of how you'll do it too. And a home group is the place to do that. So I'm going to leave you with those three questions and that challenge to keep your eyes on the prize for the week ahead. Stay focused, and especially on Jesus.